Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Every time I talk, my glasses fog up. We're on Radio Row. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be letting ourselves play. These guys want crab cakes, man, and they're here to talk about comedy and a little bit of football, and apparently Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Joe Montana says Towson. You even know how to pronounce it. It's not Towson.
No, No, I got a lot of family in Baltimore. Well, Ballmer. I got a lot of family there.
Ballmer. Well, we remember, like, in Seinfeld, she would always call it Towson, but not Towson. People say Bowie, not Bowie. It's Bowie, Maryland. It's David Bowie.
Right.
And it's Ronnie Marmo also here. You guys are doing something. I mean, I got actors, and you're the first actors that have been by. Hopefully you're not the last before it's all over with. But I figured we'd see a lot of actors telling stories out here because I see the Hollywood sign from my hotel room in the morning.
We're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a shocker that I would have actor, but you guys love sports. But more than that, this Lenny Bruce thing and comedy and working blue, and it's a hot button societally right now, would you not say?
Absolutely. Yeah, more hot than maybe in the 60s. Here we are again, you know. Almost in some ways, we've gone backwards.
Okay,
you know?
So I've never told this story, but in the early 70s, my parents liked some, you know, blue humor. So we had some old Red Fox, you know,
the best albums
laying around. And, you know, I was into Dice Clay. I had Steve Martin's album, a little reference there for you back when he was doing Comedy's Not Pretty and all that, doing King Tut and all that. So I was born in 68. Lenny was a little before me. Carlin was a little too adult, maybe. I appreciate that now. I was into Pryor and Eddie Murphy, you know, the blue work of the 80s, right? Yeah. I mean, none of that happens without Lenny. And they all, every one of them, would talk about Lenny Bruce. I've never really sat and watched Lenny Bruce. I'm fascinated to hear what you guys are going to say about this and about your production.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I get what you mean about Carlin, too. As a kid, I probably have seen Carlin live like 6 times, but I get what you say about this. It's kind of mature.
Oh, my God, it means much more now.
Yeah, totally. I get that, actually. But I loved Pryor. I mean, that guy's the best. And when Murphy came on the scene, we're like, oh, my goodness. He was brilliant. But the Lenny Bruce, you know, those guys know where they got, you know, their magic from Lenny, but a lot of people don't know it. He came just before. You know, I often think about Lenny and think about, you know, he died in 66, and he was the first comic to get on stage and not have a set routine. He was the first guy to examine things and talk about things. But also, he influenced, like, the Summer of Love.
So he worked improv, total.
Well, not at first. I mean, he did impressions, actually. He was a joke comic for a long time, but he didn't really like it. And then one day he was kind of just shooting the breeze to he played in these jazz clubs. And he was up there telling the guys in the band some stories, and they were laughing. And then he just kind of turned around and kept talking. It kind of happened like that. He didn't set out to be a shock comic or set out to be this specific kind of comic. He was doing impressions. He did Durante. He would do great impressions. But then he was like, you know what? I just want to talk about things and issues. But,
you know, Carlin and Pryor were the same way when they started out. Because, I mean, I'm old enough to remember that when they first would come out on, like, Steve Sullivan's show and stuff like that. You know, Carlin was always really buttoned up and would do these kind of, and same thing with Pryor. Pryor would do these very...
Well, you were all trying to get on The Tonight Show, right? I mean, blue, Bill Cosby didn't work blue. I mean, a lot of people didn't work blue, right?
Right.
And so I grew up in sort of a blue-collar area called Dundalk, all right? You got Baltimore, but Dundalks were the steel workers, and like I grew up in that environment. Certainly Archie Bunker, you know, segregated, but you don't realize that till you're later in life and you realize where you were. But I laughed at blue stuff because HBO kind of came online when I was like 10 or 11, and Animal House, and this, like, boobs were big in the 70s, right? you know, so the things that that were funny to me were blue, and even as I get older, I like blue. And I have an FCC license. I've been doing sports radio 31 years. Every now and then I drop like a bomb now because you can kind of get away with it. Not an F-bomb, but like the 7, I can get away maybe 2 of them. 2 of the 7, there's 5. You don't do the C-word. You know, things you don't do.
Thank Lenny and Carlin for that.
Well, you speak about that a little bit because there is a part of blue that I love that's sort of now it's over.
Yeah.
You can't make this joke. You can't make that. I have Mickey Coachella, who's a local comedian. He's wonderful. And I say, you know, black jokes, out of jokes, these jokes, that joke, the 60s jokes, the Mel Brooks, I saw Blazing Saddles. These things couldn't get made now. No. None of this can get made now, right?
Exactly.
The only people that it's okay to offend is the Italians. They don't seem to be anybody in an uproar. Nobody's saying, hey, stop offending
the
Italians.
Watch the Venezuelans. Be nice to the Venezuelans.
True.
But that stuff was breaking balls in the day, and it's not anymore. And Lenny Bruce wouldn't.
Well, that's what this play is all about. I mean, in a 90-minute show, you'll see Ronnie up there with no intermission, just from front to back, telling the story of this guy's life from birth to death, and what he went through all in between. And you look at it, and I think you come away thinking, "Oh my God, it's 2022," and I kind of wondered if this is so relevant to what this guy went through back in the 50s and 60s. You know.
Well, I love when you bring it to the stage, because you were like, you know, you're a stage guy, and I go to Broadway, and I talk a lot about Broadway with Don Moeller, just being in that environment. Give me the genesis of bringing this together, because did you grow up watching? Were you a fan?
Well, I was a fan of Lenny Bruce, but it was really Ronnie being the fan of Lenny Bruce that he is, and the fact that I got to know Ronnie and had worked with him prior. When he came to me and said, look, I'm fascinated with this guy Lenny Bruce. He had done a play about him, but now I wanted to write his own thing about him, because he just didn't feel this play really told the story. And then I said, well, let's see what you got. And then when he did it in front of me, basically did almost like a monologue of the material, I said, absolutely, you've got the makings of a tremendous play here, and if I can help, I help you turning it into a production.
Is this YouTube
Let's
videos? I mean, where do you find...
A little bit, but the truth is, what's special about our show is, I'd say, if I had to give you a percentage, 40% of it is from Kitty Bruce, his daughter, things that you will not find on Google. Like, we went through the, metaphorically and literally, through the box in the attic of Lenny's stuff. Like, I am so, you know, Kitty and I...
His writing.
But just more than that. Like, the letter he wrote to his daughter, she wrote to him.
Real things, not shtick things.
Yeah,
right,
right. We do all the material, too, but that's what makes this special. It's like, we take you on a full ride. It's very funny, the play, but it's also tragic and heartbreaking. And we do a lot of the bits. People still gasp at some of the bits, which is great, even in the modern audience. But it's fantastic. I mean, it's what can I say? I feel so lucky I get to do it, and I think people... Well, I know people have embraced it, and that's why we're touring it.
And the fact that Kitty has embraced it. This is the only portrayal of her father that she has embraced.
She said that, yeah. It's the best one she's ever seen.
And that's been real important to us.
Mm. Well, you said gasp, right? Is that the thing that happens when you're tittering in a when you don't know whether am I allowed to laugh or am I not allowed to laugh? Or is that funny or is that just... Friggin' mean.
I get a lot of that throughout the show. There's a lot of like...
Because it was mean.
It's a lot of
Some
this.
Of it's mean, right?
Yeah, but I don't think we touch into the mean stuff for Lenny. And I guess, you know, Lenny used to do a bit all about bad taste. Well, who's bad taste? If you don't like what I like, then you have bad taste. So, like, you know, there's a whole bit about that. And so I'll just turn it back and say that. Like, who's to say what's mean? I mean, Lenny didn't do shock for shock value, and he wasn't mean-spirited. He was always trying to make a point. And he was always trying to, hold a mirror up to society and say, let's talk about this, whatever it is. He was a very funny
Hard
person.
Hard to do that now. You're Chappelle doing that right now, right?
Well, you can't do it now. I mean, that's why I appreciate Chappelle and Bill Burr and these guys who are willing to still work blue, as it were, even though it's not really a thing at this point. But, yeah, no, people are afraid of telling the truth, and they're afraid of consequences that come with that.
The great Joe Mantegna here, Tony Award-winning actor, as well as actor, playwright, producer Ronnie Marmo. By the way, all my General Hospital people, I was a GH guy as a kid, the Ice Princess, the whole deal,
nice,
right?
Nice.
We had Ron Legler on, who was the Hippodrome president and CEO in Baltimore. Hippodrome is one of the oldest theaters in America. It was has an incredible history. I saw Tootsie there a couple weeks ago. I'm going to see Donna Summer next week, take my wife there, the summer
great
show. We're getting, because I want to plug them, and we're getting Dear Evan Hansen. We're getting Hamilton later in the year, which would be amazing. I've told this story 2 weeks ago. I went to New York to see Network. About 4 years ago, and this is my 28th Super Bowl. I'm blessed, right? I mean, I've seen them all. I've been in parades with Joe Flacco. I've written books on football. I've been around sports, all that. Seeing Cranston do that on stage, it was like seeing Brady. It was like seeing Prince or Zeppelin or like anything. Talk about live theater and that difference of a screen and movies, and you're famous for all that. But there's something about that energy. And I did some acting in high school and Pippin and whatever. That nervous energy you get and the realness of what Broadway represents. And when the lights go out, you know, this has been a tough couple of years for everybody in entertainment space. But when the lights come back on, we get rid of these masks and stuff, there's going to be a real hunger for what you guys do. I believe that. Well, because I miss it. I got to get back to Broadway.
There's no take two in the theater. You know, it's like here we are right here, right now.
Like live rate, it's like a tightrope.
Yeah, yeah, it is a tightrope, especially when you're doing a one-man show. There's nobody for me to talk to. Sometimes in a play, you look at the other actor and they see in your eyes, you're gone, you're lost, and you kind of come back together, you help each other out. Well, me, I'm just lost. I just look out. I look for my heartbeat. You know, that's what I look for.
Search for Lenny.
But I think you're right. I think we're dying for theater, the arts in general, definitely sports. And I think we're seeing that now. Like, we're doing our shows, and we're probably half full at this point, and it's starting to come back. And we'll be back to normal soon, I feel it, you know.
Great characters, you know? I mean, you've been involved in all of this. No better character than Lenny Bruce, right? I mean, when you're talking about building a character over the last 50 or 60 years that's been a little undiscovered, that a guy my age would say, hey, I'm familiar with Carlin, like all those things, the things that came before that, right?
Yeah, well, you and I are in the same boat in that way. I mean, I knew of him, but that was it until I did a deep dive, you know?
All right, you guys want to talk sports? I mean, come on. You know, I'm Ravens. You guys want to?
Well, here's the problem with sports. I'm a huge Steeler fan. For my whole life, even though I grew up in New Jersey.
See, I've learned to get along with Steeler fans. I had Pharrell over here. Oh. Tomlin's a buddy of mine.
I love Tomlin.
I have buried that thing a little bit ever since Styx got involved with, you know, Renegade.
Well, here's
the
other thing, though. The Yankees, I'm a huge Yankee fan.
It's another problem we have.
Well, Baltimore has always been like home games for our team. We go to
especially when Lee Mazzilli came in and managed and took his whole family out of Yankee.
Mazzilli's one of my closest friends.
Yeah, I know. You know, like.
He's in West Palm, actually.
He's a Yankee!
No, we love him. We love him.
He's a Met, really. Well, I mean, I guess. He's a New Yorker.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, so as a Yankee fan, but I love Baltimore. I grew up going to Aberdeen. I had friends at Aberdeen. I would take trains from New Jersey and Inner Harbor.
Have you been up to Ripken's Complex up there? Cal has a beautiful baseball, Ripken baseball in Aberdeen, his hometown.
But do you eat crabs at Cantler's?
No, I eat crabs at Costas. I eat crabs at Fadley's.
O'Brickies.
O'Brickies is out of business.
They're out of business. Oh, my
See,
God.
You know, this is amazing that I have this famous Hollywood actor here, and so many baseball players would say O'Brickies, and I'm not downing O'Brickies. They weren't Maryland crabs. Right. They put black pepper and white pepper on the crab. It wasn't like a true... You come to Baltimore, we're going to... I'll take
Candler's,
care of you.
Candler's over in Annapolis, I think, is for first
well,
class.
Well, I've done a crab cake tour the last year and a half with the Maryland Lottery, so I've had a lot of crab cakes and a lot of crabs. So come on down.
Good to
we
know.
We would have you anytime at the
Excellent.
Hippodrome.
Excellent.
We'll
Thank
bring
you.
Your show to town. Tell me where the tour is
we're
going.
We're actually talking about Baltimore right now and D.C.
Well, you're talking in Baltimore,
well,
so it's
oh,
great.
Hi, Baltimore. But we're also talking about bringing it to Baltimore.
You're talking things about the Steelers and the Yankees. It's never going to work. This is never going to sell in my town.
So
know?
I should stop. This. Is, I made it up. It's just good radio. I don't like... I'm a big Lamar Jackson guy.
Yeah, yeah.
If we could stay on the field, that's
Ronnie Marmo here, actor, playwright, producer. The show is I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. I would say that. I'm not media, I'm Nestor. Joe Montana here, Tony Award-winning actor, and you getting on stage? What are you doing?
You never know. You never know. I don't know where
Joe's
I'm going.
Joe's my understudy.
I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow.
He's expensive, this guy.
He's my understudy. He's going to go on.
Exactly.
You'd be great, Joe.
I don't think so.
I would pay for that.
You know, they told me when I came to Hollywood I would have some actors and legends. It's good to see you guys. Thank you very much for coming
by.
Joe Montana, Ronnie Marmo joining us here. We're on Radio Row. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Comes to... Mama's on the Half Shell in Canton. We'll be there beginning on March 4th to celebrate my dad's birthday. Probably a quesadilla with some birria. Delicious. And a salsa. Big thanks to everybody here at Radio Row. We get great guests. It's fun. It's early in the week. We'll be getting more into all that stuff and emceeing the Snoop Wounded Warriors game. So we'll have some results on that. I think Kurt Warner and some others will be stopping by. Warren Moon's going to be stopping by. Jake Plummer's going to be stopping by. I might have the winning and losing quarterback from the Wounded Warriors game. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Having some fun out here in L.A. with actors and talking Lenny Bruce and more after this.